Christmas Eve, 2020. We did not know we would still be here. Some have gone and left us, and yet we are still here. And so for that, we're thankful. We give you thanks and praise, Lord God, and all the honor and glory that is due unto you. As we look towards the new year, we pray for your mercy and for your grace. And so, Lord God, as we're here tonight, gathered, and we're gathered online watching, speak a word for us, Lord God, a word of hope, a word of peace, a word of joy, and a word of love. Speak, Lord God, for we are listening. And bring us through this time, Lord God, this troubling times. And remind us that you're still with us. And, O Lord God, take hold of me now, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are God, you are Savior, and you are Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Who would imagine, right, Christmas is here already. Seemed like we just celebrated Christmas not too long ago, doesn't it? And now here we are, and we give God thanks and praise. For those watching online, I might not have said it, but welcome, and to all who are here. And as I often say, we're not a perfect church, but we have placed our hands in the hand of a perfect God. And if God be for us,
who can be against us?
And we know that God is for us. And so my sermon title tonight is, this evening is, Each Heart is an Innkeeper. Each heart is an innkeeper. And so let me begin with this brief reflection that says, destroying the evidence. The writer says, it's a tough job trying to make Christmas non-religious. To eliminate Christ from Christmas, you would have to destroy all the evidence, including the Michelangelos, the Rembrandts, the Rubens, and Da Vinci's, the works of Beethoven, Haydn, Bach, Mozart, and Handel. To search for the millions of Bibles translated in many languages and distributed around the world would take quite a force. The job would be too big for the FBI, the KGB, and Scotland Yard combined. So Christmas is going nowhere. Another writer says, some businessmen are saying that this could be the greatest Christmas ever. They say that all the time, each year. But I always thought that the first one was the greatest. And so here we are. What do we do? What do we, you and I, and how do we focus on Christmas? What do we do at Christmas time? What do you focus on? What do I focus on at Christmas time? Most of us are focused on buying presents, attending parties, and trying to get things at work finished by the year end. There's a good chance that you might spend so much time focusing on all this stuff at Christmas that you miss the main point of the holiday, Jesus Christ. You know, if you think long enough, Jesus, Christmas is becoming very pluralistic. Folks say they're celebrating Christmas, but they know nothing about Jesus Christ. And I just don't mean Christians. Folks tell me they have a tree and they're not a Christian and not of this religion, but they're celebrating Christmas. I never understand it. What's amazing is that the same thing happened on the first Christmas. Luke 2:7 reads, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." Right? And that picture that's up is showing us a picture of an inn, so to speak, and a first century inn. You've probably heard this story before. Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem because of Roman census. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the town was packed and they couldn't find anywhere to stay. Right? We know the story. We heard it just read. An innkeeper sent them away because there was no place for them at the local motel. They couldn't find the space. Although that's the typical way the story is told, that's not necessarily what happened, this writer says. The word translated in can also refer to upper, finished room of a house. So it could be the upper room of the house, something I learned in my research. The writer states, if this is what Luke means, then the innkeeper was actually a relative of Joseph. Another thought. He didn't have any place for Joseph and Mary to stay upstairs, so they had to stay in the cold, unfinished lower part of the house where the animals would be. No matter the details, the innkeeper teaches us some important lessons that we need to remember at Christmas. And now for the next slide, the only slide that I have until the end. Now the first point is, it's easy to miss Jesus. It's easy to miss Jesus. If the innkeeper had understood who Jesus was, then he would have made different arrangements. He would have kicked out some of his other guests and make room for the Savior of the world, wouldn't he? We can make the same mistake as the innkeeper. We see Jesus all over the place during Christmas on cards, on wrapping paper, in carols, and in nativity scenes. But do we understand who Jesus really is? He is God in flesh. He is God in the flesh. He is a Savior of the world. It's easy to miss Jesus because we don't expect God to arrive as a baby, born to a poor family in some obscure part of the earth. Yet, this is what actually happened. Missing Jesus. We need to ask ourselves tonight, are we missing Jesus? And young people, stop running back there. Are we missing Jesus? It's tempting to dismiss Jesus, you see, the next point. The innkeeper turned away Jesus. He didn't want to be bothered to make room for him. You see, we can push Jesus away too. There's a chance that we might recognize that there is something special about Jesus. We might carefully read the Christmas story, and we might sense that Jesus is really who everyone says he is. And that's a scary thought. If Jesus is really God and Lord, then what does that mean? We have to listen to him. If Jesus is really God and Lord, then we have to listen to him, Christian believers. It means that Jesus is going to require us to change our priorities and plans for our lives if Jesus is truly God. And we Christian believers believe that Jesus is God, the true and living God, the only God. Amen? And although that sounds scary, it's really the best thing for us. Jesus came to give us a life of joy and purpose. That's why he came, to give us a life of joy and purpose. The next point is, it's common to be too preoccupied for Jesus. Do you know there are folks who are too preoccupied? I was speaking to someone the other day, and this person was so weary, and I was listening to the individual. They were weary from what they were shopping, the trees, the gifts, what they're going to cook. And I thought to myself, what if you don't have up a tree? So what? What if you're so tired that you can't put up a tree? Is that sin? Right? Well, if it's sin, then I've sinned against God because I don't have up a tree. I don't have time to put up a tree, but I have my Bible, and I know about Jesus from my Bible. And I understand for the children, we need the tree and the gifts. I get it. I'm a parent, and I used to do that. But the way it has taken us over, it is consumed, folks. Billions of dollars will be spent throughout the world. Millions in the U.S. just because of Jesus. Did Jesus say that? Is there anywhere in the gospel that Jesus says we should put ourselves in debt because he's coming? But we do, don't we? Folks are going to have credit card debt, and they're going to owe Amazon and everybody else. Why? Because Jesus is coming. Jesus, we're celebrating his birth again. How Jesus looks down and prays for us. Prays for us. We're so overwhelmed sometimes. There are folks who won't even be able to pay their light bill or their gas bill because they're buying gifts and can't afford it. So you see, it's common to be too preoccupied for Jesus. At the first Christmas, there was literally no room for Jesus, no room at all. And it has been the same way every Christmas since. We're so busy at Christmas that even as we sit in this service, we are probably thinking of all the things we need to be doing. And that applies to me too. You know, I haven't sent out a Christmas card, but there's a box there, and I says, oh, I'm going to try to write them tomorrow. You know, you see, right? I had to say to myself today, so what if I don't write them? They won't even know. Right? So we are so preoccupied. And we probably don't think that we have any time for Jesus in our lives. The problem, however, isn't that we don't have room for Jesus. It's that we haven't made room for Jesus. You see, we have room for Jesus, but we haven't made room for him. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, there is a little thing that comes here for lupus, and they want clothing all the time for people who are hurting and handicapped and so on. And they put the cord out at your at the doors. And every time I see it, I take it. And I says, I have all these clothes that I'll never fit into. I know I'll never, beautiful jackets. And I won't tell you the sizes, because I've gone from one size to every size that there is in America, up to a certain size. And I have beautiful suits. And I says, I'm going to pack it and put it out, you know, for when they tell you the date they're coming. So I have all these things, but I don't have room to do it, time to do it. And every time I get a card, they send it, I say, oh, I got to clean out the closets. I got to give it to them. It's the same thing with us. You see, we have room, but we don't have room for Jesus because it's filled with other things. And we have to make time for him. In order to experience the power of Jesus in our lives, we need to make room for him. This means we have to make time to hear him by reading the Bible, worshiping him at church, and learning about him with others. That's what it takes. We need to study his word, come to church, worship him. Even the very songs that are played in church, as Nancy played the first Noel, a different arrangement that we normally sang it, it was beautiful. But those music can touch our hearts, right? And we can learn about the Savior. The reality is that if we need to make room for anything in our lives, it's Jesus. Christian believers, we need to make room for Jesus. Not when we're sick and in the hospital. Not when we have a sheet that somebody is sick and they need prayer. We need to make room for him all the time. You see, the innkeeper. As we look at the innkeeper, the scripture doesn't specifically mention him. But that night in Bethlehem, an innkeeper was confronted by a man and his pregnant wife. And he turned them away, saying he had no room for them. And so he missed Christmas. Are you missing Christmas, friends? Am I missing Christmas with all the doing and the doing? Not only did he turn Mary and Joseph away, but he apparently did not even call for anyone to help a young mother about to give birth. I always thought about that. Not only did he turn them away, he didn't say, she's about to give birth, someone come and help. Because he was preoccupied. It's not because the innkeeper was bad. He missed Christmas because he was preoccupied. Friends, don't be too preoccupied that you miss Christmas. You see, his inn or his guest room or his lean-to shelter was full. His place was full. It was census time in Bethlehem, and the city was bulging with everyone. And so he was preoccupied in taking care of those that he thought was important. And the innkeeper was busy. There is no indication that he was hostile or even unsympathetic. He was just busy. Friends, do not let busyness take Jesus out of your life. Let us not miss Christmas this year, friends, because it's going to be tomorrow. Let the words of this little song touch our hearts and soul tonight. And so the next slide is yes, and let us sing it together. And we, as we ask the Lord tonight before Christmas Day to come into our heart, I'll start it. It's a simple song. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. One more time. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And then out of my heart, out of my heart, shine out of my heart, Lord Jesus. Shine out today, shine out always, shine out of my heart, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And I pray tomorrow, as you're enjoying, you'll remember this Savior, Jesus. Jesus the Christ, Savior of all the world. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.